I am the daughter of Emma Louise Humphrey, the granddaughter of Panky Hines and Drusilla Davis, and the great-granddaughter of Grandma Emma, who I never had the chance to meet. But I give this matrilineal introduction because these are the women who shaped my journey into motherhood. These are the women who influenced my life's story. When I think of Mother's Day, my first understanding of motherhood happened about 54 years ago when I was born in a little town about 45 minutes away from here called Albion, New York. In Albion, New York is where I met my mother. And in my first 4 years of life, we moved from Albion to Rochester, from the migrant camp. As I grew older, I would come to know how lucky I was to have such an incredible mother. My parents were migrant workers from Arkansas with a fourth grade education because of structural racism in the South. But they raised us, eight of us, as if they had a doctorate. My mother was a woman of indelible strength, courage, know-how, with commitment to her family that was unshakable. She was a bit of a chameleon, knowing how to morph into any given moment to give to it what it needed from her. Depending on the circumstances, my mother could be tough, she could be compassionate, protective, lighthearted, strict, fun, creative, and a hard worker. I suppose one had to develop such skill with eight kids in tow, with eight different personalities vying for your attention. I still don't know how she did that. Mom was mostly a homemaker who would pick up side jobs, cleaning other people's houses, even though she struggled with asthma herself. My dad worked for a steel mill company and fixing cars on the side. They always had a side hustle to keep us kids clothed and fed. And as a black mother growing up in America, my mother had two main focuses as a mother. The first one was to keep her kids safe, and the second was to make sure that each of us graduated high school, the opportunity that she and my dad didn't have. She knew that life could be dangerous, threatening, risk-laden if you were black. And so her assignment was to not let the world take her children away and to make sure that we got the education that she never had a chance to get. And she successfully did both of those things. I remember one of my brothers, Steve, decided that he wasn't going to embrace school too much and that he was gonna not finish. And he would get into trouble in every school that he would go into. And they would kick him out of one school, and my mother would just put him in another. And then they'd kick him out of that school, and she'd put him in another. And so he got kicked out of just about every school that Rochester had. But my mother found a solution. She found Street Academy, and she made sure that my brother graduated from high school. If you grew up in my house, there were all kinds of rules in it to get you ready for the outside world. You said please and thank you. You respected your elders. You ate what was put in front of you, unless you were the baby like me. You went to school. You did your homework. You settled your agreements by kissing and making up. And you were to tell the truth, even if it went against you. And justice was really important to my mother. She always expected you to stand up for yourself if you were right. And we always had to come home before it got dark. We functioned as a team. Four girls, four boys. Whether it was cleaning the house or fishing for our food or cooking or going to the store or caring for the garden that she always grew in our backyards, we were expected to work together to get things done. And I'm sure I developed my sense of teamwork from those experiences. Growing up, I always saw my mom as a force of nature. She was everybody's mom. She had a way of delivering herself to those who needed mothering. Sometimes it was through walking out of our door and ending an argument between neighbors that was happening right in front of our doorstep. She would just walk right outside and she would say, "Look, y'all cut that out." She would look at the mother and she would say, "You're the mother, and this is your child. This is no way for a mother to act. And then she'd turn to the child and she'd say, this is the only mother you have. Respect your mother and cut this out. You apologize to your mother, and you two take this home and work it out. And just like that, what was a heated, out-of-control disagreement was diffused by my mother. People listened to her. At other times, it was through opening up our home to strangers who needed a meal or a roof over their head. She never complained to us about welcoming strangers, putting a strain on us financially, although I knew that it must have. She just did what needed to happen so that those who had no home to go to could feel cared for, could feel loved. It was important to my mom that people living on the margins and struggling with life knew that somebody cared and that they mattered. I remember growing up and welcoming at least 5 different people in our homes that we lived in different places over time, and watching my mother take in sick relatives and take care of them as well. It is where I learned hospitality and the sense of community. My mother was very protective. I remember in my 2nd grade, my mom coming to school to stand up for me with a teacher who was abusing her authority. My 2nd grade teacher paddled me for wetting my clothes after refusing to let me go to the bathroom, which was legal in New York State at the time. Well, I went home and I shared that experience with my mother, and she was furious. She marched me up to that school the next day, demanded to see Miss Jackson, and when the principal asked her why she wanted to see her, she says, I want to show her what it feels like to be paddled. It was the last time that I ever saw Miss Jackson. Now, corporal punishment in schools in New York State were outlawed in 1985, but my mother outlawed it for me in 1972. It is where I learned to not be afraid of conflict, to challenge systemic injustice, and to have moral courage. My mother found ways to give us recreation. We spent lots of time in the Catholic Youth Organization camp, learning to swim and doing boating and playing games and hanging out with the Catholics. Those 2 weeks of camp was probably the only break she got. And we had a great time. Faith was important to my mother. Although she wasn't much for organized religion, she sent us to church with friends and family, and occasionally we'd go together to my uncle's church, who was a pastor at the time. She had a love and a faith in God that went beyond tradition and church buildings. She always knew that God was with her and that it was God that she was leaning on every day just to make it through. And Mom was a great cook. She could make anything taste good. The conventional stuff and the non-conventional stuff. With a large family like ours, we ate everything. Chicken and woodchuck, steak and liver, fish and coon, rabbit and snapping turtle. One night I even got up to go to the bathroom and there was an electric eel in the bathtub having her last swim before she became our meal. I was like, Mom, really? But what I learned is that you do what you have to do to feed and take care of your children, and you make no excuses. She never did. She just took care of us. My mom was a bit of a disciplinarian. In my early 20s, in my early years as a mother, I think I was a bit of a disciplinarian too, and it took me some years to shift from that. But I learned so many things from her. She taught me how to cook, to be dependable, to be brave, to not be afraid to face down my fears, to have a good work ethic, to be available to your community and your family, and that hospitality was a central part of life, and to always stand in my own truth. The other woman in my life who influenced me was my grandma Panky. She was my cat's meow. My grandmother taught me to love God and to love music. She would lead Bible study for us in her home when we were kids. She would sing to us. She would teach us songs. We had the biggest family choir you ever wanted to see. She'd bake us delicious cakes and pies and tell us lots of stories about her early life in the South. Grandma was kind, she was generous, and she always spoke her mind, and we were very close. And so when I became a mother, she was a great support to me. She babysat my children, and whenever I would complain to her about people mistreating me in any way, she'd say, "Baby, don't worry about it. If they knew better, they'd do better. Just pray for them," she'd tell me. And when we would talk about church, she would say, "You know, we have made a mess of things not treating people the way God wanted us to. We have to clean up what we messed up." And then she'd say, "The problem is that the church thinks that they're the boss. We're not the boss. God is the boss. We work for God." And Grandma would just set someone straight one minute who offended her, and then she'd feed them the next. She taught me to never hold a grudge and to always try to live in grace with others, because you never know when you'll need somebody to forgive you, to give you grace when you've made a mistake. She taught me how to sing, how to trust God, how to have faith. And by the time I had my two biological children, Jerry and Jasmine, I had a pretty solid foundation of women and wisdom to draw from. And I would need it, because I would become a mom for the first time at 17 years old, and I would have Jasmine later at the age of 24. Now, I knew I needed to figure out how to provide for them. So when Jerry was about a year old, I went back to school, and I became a nurse. And while being a young, single mother was a daily challenge, having my children was the best thing that ever happened to me. They were so tiny and fragile, and I loved everything about them. I loved the way they smelled, and I loved the way they laughed and giggled, and I loved their hair and the way they cooed, and the way they loved to be cuddled and held. They were my world, and I was theirs. I knew that these little lives were totally dependent on me, like I was on my parents. But I knew that I also didn't have to do motherhood alone. My mom and my grandmother were my biggest supports, and they were always there. When you're a single mom, you need a really special friend to raise children. And my special friend was YouTube. YouTube became my friend to teach me everything. I was fixing dishwashers and refrigerators and garage doors and all kinds of stuff. My daughter would say that she was so impressed with me fixing her car in my stilettos. I said, "Well, the video never said what shoes you were supposed to wear." Today, my journey in motherhood has produced two of the most amazing human beings that I know. Jasmine grew up to be a wonderful young woman and a mother. After getting over our teenage years where she just didn't know if she really even liked me, we became best friends. And I get to help her and Big Jordan as they raise my grandson, Jordan, and give them all the support that I had with my children. We are a real team. I get to watch her impact the world by caring for the elderly as a certified nurse's aide as she prepares to become a nurse like her mom. She tells me regularly how I inspire her, when honestly, I didn't even think she was listening. The truth is that the admiration is mutual. She's gentle, she's caring, she's kind, she's smart, she's tough, she's creative, and she's hardworking. She loves being a mom, and she's great at it. Jerry is the same. He's smart, he's creative, he's an amazing singer and writer, he's thoughtful, he's generous, he's kind, supportive, hardworking. He's a no-nonsense and a take-charge kind of guy who works at a forensic warehouse. I'm so proud of the man that he has become. And my journey into motherhood has often been wild and crazy sometimes. But it was, and it still is, an amazing experience. Jesus in the gospel today tells his disciples to let not your hearts be troubled. And I thought to myself, if he had kids, he wouldn't be saying that. One of the most painful parts to motherhood is the loss of a child. And many of you have experienced that. I've been there with you in those moments. There's no greater pain than that, than to lose a child. And so I send my heart to you today. When you love as deeply as we do as parents, there will always be moments that will trouble our hearts along the journey of motherhood. However, in those moments of challenge and uncertainty, Jesus gives us something to hold on to. He invites us to have faith in God, to have faith in Him, because motherhood is a complete leap of faith. It requires that you trust that God knew what God was doing when God called you into the journey of motherhood. Now, I've made lots of mistakes, but I hope that I've learned from them. Sometimes all you have are your mistakes to guide you. I read a beautiful quote once that said, "Being a mother is learning about strengths you didn't know you had and dealing with fears you never knew existed." I found that to be true. Motherhood is the gift that keeps on giving and growing. And like my mother, I too have had my motherhood circle expanded by gift children who needed a mother in their lives. And today, I am not only called mom by my 5 children that I named, but I am also mom to Nico, Sincere, Anthony, Ashley, Pashina, Monique, Marquise, Shanice, Jordan, Natalie, and Finesse. They all call me Mama Myra, or Ma, and it's a great honor to have them in my life and to be in theirs. For me, the experience of motherhood is all about the journey and not the instant results that we want along the way, because we may never get them. It is full of surprises. It is full of twists and turns. It's about trusting God's love for us and our children, knowing that we are never truly alone in the work of parenting. Because God is our ultimate mother and our ultimate parent, who will always be there to guide us. All we are asked to do on that journey is to simply have faith. Happy Mother's Day.